The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It is Sixers Talk brought to you by Wilmington University. Wilmu Works. Danny Pommels, our esteemed co-host, producer, we call him slash Ben Barry, and our guest co-host today. I say oh baby because I really mean it. It is Amy Fadul with a baby joining us here.
That's right.
Amy, thanks for being here. Pre and post game host Amy Fadul, and she has been, man, put through it as the Sixers postseason is over. What are you feeling right now, Amy?
Don't call it a postseason. It was a blip. It was a blip.
Yeah, four games.
Four extra games. Gone.
Right.
Four. You couldn't give me five?
Is there any solace in the fact that team that beat you is now mm-hmm. an Eastern Conference Finals team? Does that – no?
No. Was there solace last year when Toronto won it all?
I think a little bit. You got beat by the best team. I take something from that.
The only solace was that you went seven games with the best team. That was the only solace. There is no solace in getting swept by the Celtics.
There right, because no that means that you put up no fight whatsoever. You just got stepped else, on.
Everybody else at least, you were down 3-1. Look at them. Oh, they came all the way back. Come on.
Right. Most recently here, Denver Nuggets forced a game seven against the Clippers yesterday.
Their second game seven in the bubble.
Well, here we are because if we're talking bubble stuff, the fallout has once again brought the Sixers' name up because Mike D'Antoni, although he still had a year left with the Houston Rockets, decided that he would just leave and become a free agent. And here we are, him being mentioned with the Sixers. He was an associate head coach here on that 10-win team. Ouch. Man, he was here for the doldrums of the process. And I think it's obviously worth mentioning that the Colangelos had a plan that if Brett Brown petered out, Mike D'Antoni would be there waiting in the wings to take his place. So is there any comfort? Does he bring new life to the Sixers head coaching search for you, Amy?
First of all, I have to say that 10-win season was magical. Jim Lineham and I did some amazing post-game shows after those blowout losses.
I mean, you got to tap this a little bit, right?
We once did a 45-minute post-game show, I think on a 38-point loss to the Raptors. Listen, I thank God every day for Jim Lineham because you would ask him one question and he would go for 10 minutes. I'm like, thank you, friend, because there is nothing to talk
Schmidt.
About.
Don't you remember? <great.
laughs> But the thing with Mike D'Antoni, who is a good coach and I think is obviously going to go on and be successful wherever he goes, is his system isn't set up for the Sixers. So if they do that, I want them to go all in. There's no more we're trying to fit square pegs in round holes because D'Antoni's system, as you saw in Houston, is smaller, guard-oriented, shooter-oriented. There is one thing that the Sixers are not. There are three things. They're not small, they're not guard-oriented, and they're not shooter-oriented. So what do you do? What do you do if you hire Mike D'Antoni? Great, he's a great coach. Do you keep every single player the same? Like, you can't. There's no way. So I think it's if I'm Mike D'Antoni, I look at that Sixers roster and say, thanks, but no thanks. He's going to have his share of suitors, and it doesn't mean the Sixers job is a bad job if he turns it down. It just means it's not the right fit. Before we got on, we were talking about how every single available coach, any person with a heartbeat that has coached basketball has now been linked to the Sixers coaching search. So it's like, you can't just pick anybody. That was the whole point. Everybody's like, oh, well, Brett Brown was great for the process. Maybe not after. Okay. If you realize that, then you need to find the right guy for after. We are at the after. Some people think maybe we're still in the process, but we're certainly at least somewhat after the process. You've gotten your picks, you've gotten your talent. Now you need to find the guy that can make it work because it's not everybody. It's not everybody that can make it work. And I don't know that D'Antoni, no discredit to him, I don't know who he can make it work if he wants to run his system. He'd have to completely overhaul his system, if so.
If Mike becomes the head coach, that means he probably has say in player personnel. And what me and Danny have talked about previously on the pod, it's the front office, it's the roster, and it's the head coaching search. It seems like they would be doing all three if they brought in Mike D'Antoni. A whole new lineup of players. Maybe he works some magic and get out up out of here. The offense, maybe it will run faster. He's very innovative. He figures things out. Maybe he can make Joel and Ben a better fit. But he's going to need shooters. Maybe that sounds great for Furkan. He's like, oh, it's my time. I get to put up 10 to 15 shots a game. But, I mean, people that want Mike in here, that's the type of thing you're going to be asking for. I don't know what moves he can make, but if he comes in, he's having say in player personnel. I did see Noah's article, and this isn't a shot at Noah. It was something about just being able to, like, calm the storm and conflicting personalities. He brought up James Harden and Chris Paul. And even though I would love to have Chris Paul on this team, I don't think it's easy to be around Chris Paul. I can't think of any teammates besides this last year's Thunder that actually liked being around him. They got tired of him in L.A. They got tired of him in New Orleans when it was the Hornets. Mm-hmm. We saw how tired they got of him, of the Rockets. So I can't put that on Mike D'Antoni. But, you know, I don't know what the Sixers can do. I don't know how much worse it can get. I don't want to say that and speak it into existence.
He was here for the 10-win season. How much worse can it get? I told you, Jimmy and I had to talk for an hour about a loss.
That 10-win season didn't have Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons on the team.
It wouldn't have mattered. It was the worst.
You know what the thing is for me? I'm looking at Mike D'Antoni, and I can't really figure out what success he's had. Like, what overwhelming – like, yeah, he won 50 games for a bunch of seasons with the 7 seconds or less Suns, but the characteristic I am really looking for in a coach is someone who has had the success at the level the Sixers want to get to. So, for me, Ty Lue and Billy Donovan fit that mold a lot more. More so for me, Billy Donovan, because he has managed the personalities of Durant and Westbrook at just a tumultuous time. He managed those personalities. He seen the heights of the Western Conference Finals. He's pushed teams onto the brink of the NBA Finals. So to me, I feel like I need a coach who has had that pedigree and been to those heights. Not to mention the college championships. But I feel like with D'Antoni, super retread, which also like gives me like weird vibes because I'm just there's so many options out there. Why do you have to bring in a guy who has been around and around and around and hasn't had that success, hasn't had the ultimate, you know, pinnacle of summit of NBA basketball winning the championship? So do you feel like if they bring in D'Antoni, they didn't quite have a good search?
It would be almost like, like Ben and Noah alluded to in his article, Ben was talking about, well, it's like, well, we want someone to calm the storm. I'm tired of calming the storm. We've already had the calm the storm guy. Brett Brown sailed through, and I know that he's much maligned about the coaching style and maybe in-game adjustments. But you have to remember, he had a GM at one point who refused to talk to the media. Refused. So Brett Brown had to do all that. And then they fired that GM, and then they fired the other GM. So Brett Brown has had to be the leader of this team, the voice of this team. So he's already done the calming of the storm. I don't need the calm the storm guy. If there's a storm coming, someone else can calm it. I don't want my coach calming it anymore. What I want is a guy that can develop the young talent, and I think Billy Donovan, that's my choice. And I say that as a Kentucky fan, and I loathed Billy Donovan, loathed him at Florida because he was so good. The guys listened to him. They seemed to respond to him. Young players, a system that they can buy into. He's used to, as you mentioned, Danny, bringing teams together. I think that he would be a good choice. I don't like the idea. And I know, like, it's been brought up, too, of like, oh, well, just pick a Van Gundy. Just pick one. We don't care which one. Just pick one. And I'm like, you just can't just pick. Just what? First of all, those guys are in announcing. I don't even know if they're, I'm sure they're interested somewhat in coaching again, but it's like, you can't just pick a coach that's been a coach before because you think it's just going to be easy. And then you're just like, well, just pick one of the brothers. Well, I don't care which one, Stan. That's it. We'll take him. Jeff. Okay. Whoever's available. And I think that the Sixers, they went outside the box a little bit with Brett Brown. It doesn't mean that you should be gun shy of going outside the box again and not picking a guy that, you know, just because he's been in the league a really long time as a coach, like Mike D'Antoni, doesn't mean he's the right fit for you. It doesn't mean that Mike D'Antoni's not going to be a good coach somewhere. It just means he's probably not the right coach for this situation, in my opinion.
I don't know who the right coach is for this situation.
Just pick a Van Gundy.
So the Van Gundy thing is crazy to me because, similar to John Gruden, which I was dead wrong about, people always linked him to the Eagles and other teams coming out the boot. And I didn't think it was enough money to make one of these guys come out the boot to deal with the stress of coaching a team. I was wrong. So maybe if you throw enough money at a Van Gundy, it'll happen. The Ty Lue, I think he's a solid coach, but I don't know exactly how good of a coach he is. He had LeBron.
Yeah, it's hard to judge when you've got LeBron.
It's hard to judge when you've got LeBron.
Look at Spoelstra. Spoelstra is much maligned, and they're like, eh, well, he had Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. I'm like, well, he's still really good.
Yeah, it turns out he's got the
pedigree.
I think Spoelstra's the top five coach. And what me and Danny talked about on the previous spot, unfortunate thing with this short offseason is the Sixers needed to take time to intimately get the Noah coach so they can decide. Because between the Raptors, Celtics, and the Heat, all those coaches, the front office – completely behind them, took time to let them know, this is your show. We don't have that because whatever coach comes in, they know if things continue to go bad, Elton's on the hot seat. What happens when the GM goes? A new GM comes in, and then the coach is either out of here or he wants his guy. Yeah, so whether it's Billy, Lou, Jason Kidd, or any of these other – anyone else they're throwing out, it's not an ideal fit. It's fix this fast.
Yeah. Yeah, it is going to be a little bit of a piecemeal because of that, unfortunately, a little bit of a Band-Aid because it is such a short. And I know they keep pushing everything back. It looks like, you know, probably Christmas is going to be your start. There's no way they do December 1st. They've already pushed the draft back, free agency, all that stuff's being pushed because you can't. You need time. You need time to get your team. Free agency can't start October 18th. That would be bananas. Season's going to end, and then all of a sudden free agency, you don't even know what's going on. So it'll be interesting to see. They need to – the one thing that I wish the Sixers could do a little bit more of is be a little bit more transparent during this search because their fan base right now thinks that they're flying without a pilot, and it's not a good feeling. So if they could just come and be like, hey, yes, we're at least conducting interviews or we're doing background – they've said nothing. And you don't need to name names. Just tell me you're doing something.
Well, if they become more transparent, I think we will all learn something that a lot of fans think. They don't know what they're doing.
Then that's not good. Be transparent with knowledge. Don't be transparent with nothing. That's bad.
It depends on who you believe. It seems that they're doing the overhaul of the front office based on Keith Pompey's most recent article before they do the coaching search. So, yeah, they're not going to be that transparent.
We got a short window.
Yeah, super short. I mean, last date I saw for the draft was November 18th. So imagine October 12th, the season ends with game 7 of the finals maybe. And then October 18th, what the free agency window begins. And then the draft is November 18th. And then
They're going to move that free agency date back. I don't know when it's going to be, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was November 1st just to give them an extra 2 weeks.
Hey, dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. There's a local university that's ready to bring your dreams into reach. It's Wilmington University. WilmU helps working adults reach their career goals through accredited and affordable degrees and certificates to reach new heights in your field. WilmU works. Find out why at wilmu.edu.
So as we discussed, Mike D'Antoni leaving the bubble, he was ousted from the playoffs because the Lakers are going to the Western Conference Finals, which brings us to the teams that are left because it will likely be the Clippers and the Nuggets, obviously, and then the Lakers, as well as the Heat and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. And does that give Sixers fans a cringeworthy Eastern Conference Finals experience? Because when you add it all up, it's like these are two teams, in some ways, the Sixers helped build, and the fact that they traded the number one pick for the number one pick and end up losing an opportunity to get Jason Tatum, although he ever had an opportunity to get him because the Celtics never would have made the trade if the Sixers weren't picking Markelle Fultz. But they did assist the Celtics in getting Jason Tatum in that way, and they assisted the Heat in getting Jimmy Butler by orchestrating a trade for Josh Richardson last season. So are we upset watching this?
Yes.
How should Sixers fans feel?
Yeah, there's so many memes that have the do not like. I must post one a day. Do not like. No, thank you. Do not like. Thanks, I hate it. And this is like the worst. Like, really? Come on. This is of all the teams. And it's
but from
Celtics.
A basketball standpoint, this is the best matchup. This is the most exciting matchup.
It's very exciting. I'm super stoked. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to hate watch it, but I'm going to watch it. It's not like I'm not going to tune into it. That Celtics series, the previous series, was bananas. It was awesome. Celtics Raptors was everything.
Absolutely.
It was awesome. So I
the double OT game, shot for shot, was just
bananas.
Amazing. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Sixers are just linked too much to these two teams. It's so intertwined that it's hard not to take some of their success personally because of, and yes, you know, the facts are that Jason Tatum was always going to be a Celtic. They were going to take him either third or first. That was there. It's because Lonzo Ball we knew was going to the Lakers. So there was no question. It was just a question of, if the Celtics could get an extra little pick from the Sixers to get that number one. And they did. And so that's, to me, the more of the rub. Like, I knew that Jason Tatum wasn't coming here because if they kept their first pick, then they were, that's fine, we're done. But because they bamboozled the Colangelos into giving up that pick. And so then they got set up for more pick. And just like, come on. And then, of course, the Jimmy Butler to the Heat. And I don't care what people say. Heat fans know. And the six that are out there, you know that you did not think your team was going to the Eastern Conference Finals. You are way ahead of the schedule, thanks to two members of BBN, but that's okay. But you're way ahead of schedule.
Lord have mercy. Does it always have to come back to Kentucky?
Listen, there's a Kentucky play on every single team left in the bubble, Daniel. I'm just saying.
But Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, but think about it. You thought those guys were still a year away, and they weren't. And Duncan Robinson playing for Campbell. I mean, come on.
At one point, you saw Jimmy chirping on the sidelines, like, "Man, we got some dudes on this team who can play. Like they can play."
Yes.
I see you.
Yes, actual shooters.
It's like Amy. I'm a hate watch. Turn the game on, and I'm just trash talk. He ain't that good. He only because he's playing around other good players. Brad Stevens, he ain't as smart as everyone thinks. I'm a hate watch. I'm going to sit there, hate watch with my Twitter fingers.
So bad.
It's very frustrating. The Heat, I know Amy said no one thought they would be here. Danny and Paul used to always tell me how wrong I was because I thought the Heat were a legit contender. Maybe it's because I'm a big believer in Pat Riley. Jimmy Buckets went down there. He was in shape. Pat Riley loves nothing more than someone that wants to practice 2-3 times a day. They got all those young players, and they bought into the culture. And we got Josh Richardson back, who I'm not a big believer in. Never looked like he fit on offense. And when they gave him the keys to run as the backup point guard, looked even more lost. His defense wasn't what we were told it was going to be. The Celtics, the Fultz thing and the Tatum trade is – it's just going to be a bad nightmare that keeps going. Maybe I should bring it up in therapy. I won't say anything bad about Fultz. Because last time I said something negative about Fultz on the pod, Don Beaver sent me a text telling me how wrong I was about Fultz. And Danny was right. He's a big Fultz guy. It sucks how bad it turned out. 3 years ago, we had a bright future, a lot of cap space, a lot of draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And one and a half GMs later, they threw some gasoline on it in a match, and it's just burnt.
Exploded.
So fast. So fast. And I could feel if I was a Ben or Joel, like, we had so much promise. Why should I be here? It seems like no one knows what they're doing. And you have two organizations in Boston and Miami that they had some things bounce their way, but they were never as bad as the Sixers. as they were going through the process to rebuild it. So why should I stay here? No one's know what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's the rudderless ship feeling is really the thing that bothers a lot of people, certainly me the most, Ben, to your point, because the Celtics, they're a sound organization, and the Sixers used to be a sound organization, and there's just been so much upheaval, there's so much uncertainty, and the Heat obviously have been successful for many years now, and they've had ebbs and flows, but they've never really gone all the way down. So maybe that's it. Maybe the going all the way down, maybe it's just taking a lot longer to come all the way up because you keep changing things. You have to have something.
I can hear what you're
static.
Saying, Amy. They're cursed. You know what I mean? I hear you saying they're cursed is what you're trying to say.
Can you put on that jersey behind you?
No, this is actually that guy? This is Dr. J actually gave this to me after
the championship.
He gave this back to me. He gave this to me after.
Lies that you tell to these people.
Amy, can you please?
He took that off and said, here, this is a young
You are a house guest. I think I need you to
How
act appropriately,
How
please.
How old were you? How old were you when he gave you that?
I was a little guy.
Years old.
I'm young then, and you must think I'm pretty young. At 83, I wasn't born. But hey, I think the thing for me is like, you look at, and we outlined this in a previous pod, Amy, is like, the Sixers next season, as they're currently constructed, aren't even a six seed. Like, they're not even what they were this season. You know what I'm saying? Like
they're
next
lucky
year,
if they're an eight seed.
Right. So you can easily pick six teams in the Eastern Conference who are currently constructed better than the Sixers. And as we've seen with these hodgepodge lineups and trying to form this champion and build a good roster, the pieces don't always fit quickly. They don't always gel like you expect. So there's no even guarantee that how they reconstruct the roster is going to pay immediate dividends. So they find themselves in a situation where not only are you envying what other teams have and have to watch it to a certain extent in the Eastern Conference Finals, you also have no guarantee that you will be reaching those heights in the near future after all you've been through.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think one thing, if everybody's been watching the rest of the bubble playoffs, which have been excellent, is that the Sixers are not even close to any team that was remaining there. Not even close. Not in the same gym as the Raptors. Not in the same gym as even like the Nuggets, who everybody thought, you know, were dead twice. You know, they're forced at game seven. They're not in the same conversation as those teams. They don't play like those teams. They don't have the success and players. It's disheartening, to say the least, watching these things and thinking, Sixers aren't on that level.
The Raptors bring Norman Powell off the bench and run late game offense for him. What? Who? Yeah. How is that?
Do you want to bring Furkan off the bench and run offense to him? No.
It'd at least be entertaining if they did that. I mean,
oh my God.
You'd see something.
For us.
Yeah. I don't think you'd like what you see, but you'd see something. There'd be like shots and stuff. They wouldn't go in.
Like the whole thing is just mystifying. We were told built for the playoffs, bully ball, and I feel I'm not married like you guys. I feel, you ever been in an argument, at the end of it you wonder, how did we get here? That's how I feel about the Sixers season. It was promising, we had a good time.
Are you sure you haven't been married?
I sounds awfully familiar. It's just like, what, we just had a nice dinner, like how did we end up here? It was so promising, and I'm stuck with at the end of the night, frustrated.
And that's the thing with bully ball. It works on one end of the court. It doesn't work on the other. Not in this NBA. Not what you're seeing with the teams that are successful. There's no way.
It worked in 97.
That was a great year, 1997. Ben, were you born in 1997?
Oh, wow. You think I'm that young? That's very nice of you.
Ben was born in 97. Danny was born in 1990.
There's this thing floating around that is a constant through Philadelphia's sports fandom, that once your team is eliminated, like the playoffs like basically end at that point, and a lot of fans don't watch, you know, after the Phillies get knocked out of the postseason, or for the Sixers as we're talking about now. So I'm thinking like a lot of people won't even be tuning in to this Eastern Conference Finals just because their team isn't included.
Yeah, and the Phillies are still going and the Eagles are now here, so it's like, okay, well, they might not. They might tune in by the time that's the NBA Finals.
Sure.
Just because there'll be less distractions. But you're right. I mean, if I was, you know, sitting at home and I had, there's only one thing on and it was the Celtics and the Heat, of course I'm going to watch it. But if there's like five other things on, I'm going to watch those and maybe flip over or check on my phone just to see how it's, because it's, that's hard. It's going to be hard to watch it because of that just icky feeling.
Question for you guys, not to bring it back to our previous conversation, but after what the Sixers need to do this offseason, and after we saw what we saw from the Eagles yesterday, you got more faith in the Eagles season turning around? I know it's one game in, or the Sixers making the necessary changes this offseason?
Oh, talk about a hate question.
The Eagles actually have money to spend.
The answer is no.
No, the Eagles obviously have way more upside. There's parity in the NFL, at least. You could be a wild card and then get hot and make a push to the title, where in the NBA
– no, you can't block anybody.
Daniel, that's a decent defensive front in the Washington football team.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, when you suck for so bad, that's what happens. It's like the Nationals. Eventually, you get good. So, yes, Chase Young, 21 years old, physically manhandling 38-year-old Jason Peters. Like, I know at 80%, you're still better than most, but you ain't better than Chase Young, and you ain't better than...
Can that suck so bad for so long translate to the actual Sixers? Can we get that? It's funny, J.J. Redick seems like the gift that just keeps on giving, because he's not on the team anymore, but yet his podcast has just continued to give us Sixers content, as he has Kevin Durant on a podcast who will be coming back next season, and if the Sixers are not prepared for what he's bringing to the Eastern Conference, I am really going to lament watching those matchups between the Sixers and Nets, but He makes an interesting comment about the 76ers, and it really brings me back to Brett Brown's comments on when he made a statement on his way out of how many people he coached in his tenure. I think it was 129 players, Amy.
I don't think it was
120-something.
Yeah, I think it was 129. It wasn't by mistake that he listed the 100-plus players. It was not by mistake. That's impressive. Everybody else is doing like in the 80s, maybe.
That mind-boggling number, like of all those players that came through this organization, and you mentioned very well how he was the mouthpiece for the organization, mm-hmm. with all of that upheaval and the 10-win seasons and all the injuries and all that stuff, so much so that he said, you know what, you're not getting any medical information from me this season. Ask the medical people. But Kevin Durant, I wanted to get the quote. He said – when they were discussing the topic of the 76ers and the rotation and the upheaval and whatnot, Durant says it's hard to become a great team where you're getting new teammates every year. It's tough, especially young players like them, meaning Ben and Joel Embiid. They're expected, and in Philly, they've got so many expectations on them, it's tough. So he makes a good point. I do feel like, though, when I hear him say that a lot of the expectations they put on themselves. So, yeah, you're expected to win just because winning is what you're here for. But, mm-hmm. you know, Joel was saying, I want to be Defensive Player of the Year and MVP. And Elton Brand and Brett Brown were saying, you know, we're a championship team and we're built for the playoffs and we're star hunting and all that stuff. Like, that was them. The expectations, whether they come from the fans or the organization, they're there. But are you feeling Durant's comments? And do you side with him, or how do you see what he said?
Yeah. I mean, the expectations, it's kind of like the chicken and the egg, which came first. Because the fans expect, after all of the losing, for you to win. And I want you to say that. You know, Herm Edwards, you played to win the game.
Well, you did say that, though. You said that after a while, when you mentioned Washington, you get good. And the Sixers have lost a bunch, and they haven't quite gotten good.
So, yes, I mean, the expectations, you know, it is the chicken or the egg, which came first, because when you lose all those games, all those years, all those seasons, there is expectations. So you want your front office and your coach and your players to not want to go back there. You know, the old Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. But at the same time, you're right, Danny. Like, they did put on, oh, we're going star hunting. Oh, we're built for the playoffs. We're built to beat the Bucks. You're not built to even beat anybody, like, at this point. So – you didn't beat the Celtics. You had one Just give me one. You didn't win a single playoff game. And that's, you know, obviously injuries play a huge factor in that, especially when they're injuries, catastrophic injuries to your star players. Sixers have had that more than any other team, certainly. But to Kevin Durant's point, it is a lot of pressure. But don't you want that pressure? Like, this is a guy who was in Oklahoma City for his first couple of years when he was the young player. There's no pressure in Oklahoma City. It's a fervent fan base, but they love their team if they win or lose. There is no expectation. There is no large media. There is no, you know, this huge kind of history of, well, you know, we used to be really good and now we were really bad. Now I expect you to be really good. Then he went to LA or Golden State, obviously, and, you know, it's the expectations are there. It's Steph and Clay are going to get you there and you're going to help us. It'll be interesting to see what he does in New York. I'm terrified of him being in the Nets. I think everybody forgot how good Kevin Durant is. I think he's a, you know, a once in a lifetime type of player with his skill set. But I see what he's saying to an extent. He does understand how it is here in Philadelphia. He knows that it's a tough place because there are expectations put on every team by the fan base. That's every single team. Flyers, Sixers, Phillies, Eagles. We expect to win, and we expect our team to want to win as well. But it's both. You know, I would be more like mystified if my front office didn't come out and say, we expect to win. Now, they obviously doubled down on it with some of their language saying, you know, we're built for this and we're star hunting, and then you come up short. Those are when the expectations start to get chipped away because the disappointment automatically comes in because it's Negadelphia. No, yep, you know it.
For Ben and Joel, it stinks, yeah. I think just having some continuity, having some of the same teammates around would benefit. And I don't know if it's ironic or sad or comical that the best lineup was 2 years ago when it was Redick, Saric, and Covington in the starting lineup with them. Somehow adding better players has made the team worse in a sense. More so this past season. But maybe that falls on the front office to be more patient with some of these young players or stop trying to get the big name and win free agency and trust what you have in-house. Maybe make some better decisions at draft time. I don't know if we're cursed for everyone we draft end up getting injured. I don't know if this is for some people's grandparents or parents for saying they'll do anything for an Eagles Super Bowl. And now we're cursed this way.
Hand it off.
It stinks. With the pressure part, yes, it's a lot of pressure. If you don't want the pressure, go play in Orlando. Go play in Sacramento. If you want to win championships and you want, I can't say come play for the Sixers because it hasn't been one in decades, but if you want to compete, and you want to feel the pressure, you want a city to cheer for you, yeah, we'll love to have you. But you got to need more consistency, whether it's from Joel being healthy and playing 30-plus minutes a night, Ben willing to take jump shots, a front office that knows what they're doing. I have no faith that they do. But a little bit of consistency, and I think that'll show if they get the same core players around those guys.
Yeah, I mean – catastrophic for to lose Ben Simmons. Like they were going to have trouble beating the Celtics in the first round with Ben, and then they lose Ben. So like, forget about it at that point. You mentioned consistency, but I think the Sixers, you know, we had some great articles on the website which pointed to this. The Sixers, in Elton Brand's words, are pointing the fingers at themselves that they need to do a better job. He said that they need to do a better job of building the roster around Ben and Joel. And that's the issue, is that they brought in these pieces, but they haven't actually been good pieces to fit around stars that they have here. Mm-hmm. So, which makes not signing J.J. Redick so weird, because you
would you give J.J. a two-year deal, way. Though?
Would that's you, what he that's the thing. I probably might not have given him what he was looking for. I definitely wouldn't have given him as much as the Pelicans gave him. But then you turn around and sign Al Horford, which turned out to be a worse decision. The Tobias thing is negligible. You know, we're stuck there after you lost Jimmy Butler. Well, they lost Jimmy Butler, so they had to do something.
You know, Tobias every other Friday checks in bank account direct deposit with a ski mask. Him and Al Horford.
Yeah, Al Horford, that was a knee-jerk reaction. We all remember Elton Brand.
But I'm just saying, those pieces don't fit around Ben and Joel. Yeah. That's the thing.
That was knee-jerk because after Joel got hurt and he had some of the issues that limited him at times in the playoffs against the Raptors and in the previous series against the Nets, Elton Brand came out and said, listen, we did not do a good enough. Greg Monroe was their answer for the backup right. center, if you guys right. recall.
Greg I forgot Monroe. He was in the league until that point.
Greg Monroe. There was a second you thought Roy Hibbert was brought in, not as a coach, but maybe as a backup, because that's who they had done before. So you people forgot that. So Elton Brand was dead set, and he said it twice during his kind of like post-mortem state of the team type of thing. We need to find a backup center. And so that was their knee-jerk reaction. This guy's been killing us. He's at the Celtics. He's a center. I'm going to pick him up. Oh, wait. They can't play on the court at the same time. That's okay. Just give him $100 million. So that was the knee-jerk reaction, and I get it. But you need to find someone serviceable, not either a guy that you're going to pay $100 million to and not Greg Monroe, who's basically a person.
Right, there was a middle ground there that he completely missed.
Yeah, there's somebody in between Greg right. Monroe and Al Horford, and he's probably on any of the teams that are currently in the playoffs right now. So just go find him. He's there. They all have him. You need to get a serviceable backup center. But and this is no fault to Greg Monroe's. He was just literally on a scrap heap. And they're like, well, we'll take this guy for $6. $6 contract. Thanks.
Everyone called Al Horford Joel Embiid's kryptonite. I remember reading it. I remember hearing it, watching games. And if Al Horford is Joel Embiid's kryptonite, if he's Superman – you don't give him kryptonite to go fight crime with or whatever. It just didn't work. And I never Shocking. Thought it was going to work. I've never coached basketball. It made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. I can't admit that. I can't admit that I was down on it from the start. There's only, I thought it might work.
Yeah. There's only one. I thought I was like, well, this seems like a great idea. This guy's good. He can be versatile. We know what he's done against the Sixers.
He killed us so many others.
Yes. There's one guy, I remember we talked about it and we did a special. And it was Jim Lynham, a man who has coached basketball. And he didn't come on the air and say it right away. He kind of like, you know, he didn't want to like slam the move because everybody was so jazzed about it at the time. But he was like, I don't know. I think his words on air that day were, I'm interested to see how this works. And privately, he's saying, I don't think it's going to work. Because Jim knew. Jim knew spacing issues. He knew the Sixers. I mean, he goes to practice and he gets to see practices differently than the rest of us. So he knew. He was like, I don't know. I don't know, Aim, I don't know. I'm not going to do my Jim Lynham, even though it's really good.
we are all here for it. Man, he dropped some gems on us when he was here for the last so podcast. Good. Yeah, man. I mean, please. It goes without saying. We all have beard envy from Jim Lynham.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't? That's... Right, yeah. I don't have a beard, so.
No, Danny can't grow. He's patchy. It's okay. He's patchy. There's nothing wrong with being patchy.
Stop instigating.
Okay.
Then stop instigating.
It's patchy.
Well, Danny, you can't grow a beard. I can't grow a mustache. So,
so you can grow the Jim Lynham, though, then.
Yeah, right. Just shave it off, bro. Just shave any inclination of anything on your lip.
Jimmy says he's not shaving that until his golf game goes south because he's been playing the best golf with that beard.
Wait, look at this inside information. So he's been killing it on the course. So that's
There's two reasons. Kay, his wife, his lovely wife, Kay, likes it. And two, he's been playing the best golf he's ever played. So that's it. That's all he needs. That man, people are like, oh, he looks ridiculous. You think Jim Lynham cares what you think? Come on. Doesn't.
You know
his
what?
His wife
though?
Likes it. Golf game response.
He must be winning a few dollars out on the course, you know?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Not only is Durant coming back next season.
Don't remind us, Daniel.
But here he is passing on some pity to the Sixers in the process. Like, you know, the thing with Durant, he's passing pity on to my team as he's coming back to, like, destroy them at the same time.
That's the thing. He's going to be in the East, so it's not like he's still out in the West and he's just commenting on another team out there.
Objective opinion, right.
Yeah, oh, you know, I've been watching basketball and this is what I think. This is a team that you're going to be facing, and The Nets weren't terrible. Think about what the Nets did. They won a playoff game down there with literally people. One was a UPS driver. The other guy, I think, was working the Dole Whip stand. They were pulling
at the Dole Whip
off.
Stand?
Yes, he was. He was at the Dole Whip stand, the Polynesian. They said, look at you. You can really run that Dole Whip. I bet you can run our offense.
And
they had no one. And they
and over and overachieved. Well. And overachieved. Yes. And they add Steve Nash.
Then they're going to get Kyrie and Kevin Durant. Like, are you guys serious? That is not a good sign. So, yeah, so when he's, like, talking about it, first I you kind of just like, oh, I appreciate Kevin Durant kind of, you know, trying to stick up for our team and give us a – wait a minute. No. You're a rival now.
Yeah, keep your pity.
Yeah. Get my team's name out your mouth. That's me.
I think as a whole, Sixers fans are still trying to regroup. And I think, what, like you said, Amy, a little transparency might go a long way in helping Sixers fans be on board with whatever decisions are being made. Still remains to be seen how they are going to figure this thing out to be better than six seed next season. Because they won't even be that next year, as we outlined. But, Amy, we appreciate you joining us. It's always a pleasure. You can always catch Amy on Sixers pre and post game. And do we want to talk baby stuff?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I'm about 2.5 weeks away, so you guys will not going to be seeing me after a while.
Do we have a name? We have talked privately about this. But
it's funny, actually. I was asked the other day, like, if you had to name the baby right now, what would you name it? And I literally blanked, and I was like, well, that's not a good sign. The baby's not going to have a name. We're just going to bring him home and just call him baby.
Well, I'm sure it will be a cutie, just like your other son is.
Little son, little Shawnee.
Super sharp. But if he doesn't know all the dwarf planets, though, I'll be disappointed. So
yes.
But let's make sure.
Speaking of people being locked into the basketball playoffs, even though the Sixers are out, that kid's like every morning wakes up. What happened? Show me what happened.
Right.
Sometimes we let them stay up. But, yeah, no, so got a couple more weeks at work, but it'll be I'll be doing Phillies on Sundays, and then I'll peace out.
Well, we miss you. We wish you a happy and a healthy birth.
Thank you, guys.
Everything will go smoothly, and you look glowing as people do. So we appreciate you stepping in with us.
Of course, I'm happy to do it.
Excellent. For Slash Ben, aka Ben Barry, our co-host and producer, I'm Danny Pommels. Thank you for listening to Sixers Talk. We're brought to you by Wilmington University. WilmU works. We'll see you next time.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.